You are listening to Pandora's Box Radio with Kalia LaRoche. For more information about my products and services, counseling, coaching, hypnotherapy, books, and audios, please visit narcissismfree.com or pathbacktoself.com. Hello, welcome to Pandora's Box. This is Kalia. And today the topic of our podcast is when love hurts. Love is the highest power on earth. It's what makes the world go round. It's the greatest healer. It's what brings us together. But sometimes it feels like love is what tears us apart. And I would like to talk about this today. I would like to talk about when the greatest power on earth goes wrong. When we find ourselves hurting like we've never been hurt before, when it feels like our heart has been ripped out, when we feel love has betrayed us, where do we go from here? In my life, there are people whose behavior has been extremely hurtful. There are people that perceive me in a way that has nothing to do with who I am and how I'm showing up. Their perceptions of me are projections of their own wounds and insecurities, but I'm powerless to do anything about it. How people treat you is about them, not you. So we need to surrender and in many cases admit that we're powerless to change the situation. We need to accept that the one who is cruel and unloving towards us may never change their tune. In the 12-step program in Alcoholics Anonymous, and other recovery programs, the first step is admitting that we are powerless over whatever our drug is, whether it's alcohol, whether it is drugs, whether it is codependency, and we're having to admit powerlessness over changing the other person. We have to admit that we are powerless. Although at times, I admit I'm powerless to change how people feel about me, there's a part of me that still believes that with enough love, I can bring about another reality, that is within my power. And I think a lot of people feel this way. There's a part of me that still believes that I can change how other people perceive me, that is within my power. But perception is in the eye of the beholder. Some people are very much invested in the way they perceive you because there's a payoff for them. In toxic situations, the payoff for the one who perceives you in a negative light is that they get to feel better about themselves. Often at the core of such dynamics is a person or several people who have not faced their own fears and insecurities. They haven't faced their own self-loathing, and so they project that out onto others. They have an unconscious desire to make others hurt the way that they themselves are hurting deep down. I say unconscious because most often they're not aware of their own inner struggles and challenges. This is happening on a very much a subconscious level. They're blind to the insecurities that they're having that are creating the behavior. On a psychological note, I'm aware of all this. I teach it. I know this dynamic inside out and backwards. But does having the awareness really make the pain go away? Sometimes it soothes the pain somewhat, but acknowledging that others lash out at me because of their own pain doesn't necessarily resolve the hurt within me. However, on a deeper spiritual note, I understand that our perceptions of other people and the meaning that we assign to the things that happen to us are the greatest obstacles to our healing. It's never love that hurts us. It's the lack of love that hurts us. It's the lack of love that others may demonstrate towards us. It's the lack of love we feel towards them as a result, and it's the lack of love that we feel for ourselves. The idea that love heals all wounds is greatly misunderstood. We may operate from a belief that if we just love that person that we're in conflict with, if we just love them enough, all the problems in our relationship will magically resolve. Well, it doesn't always work this way. The love we often feel that we're giving to others may very well be conditional love. In fact, most of the time it is conditional love. We're giving in order to get something in return. Even if that something is love, approval, or acceptance. Conditional love does not heal all wounds. We need to learn how to offer unconditional love first to ourselves. We need to learn to offer those things that we want from others to ourselves. We need to bring love to those wounded parts within ourselves. It's easy to feel victimized by people, especially those who we perceive have done us wrong. And I'm not saying that people don't do horrible things to each other. They absolutely do. It isn't about what people do to you. It's about what meaning you assign it and how you deal with your anger, your feelings of betrayal, and the titles we assign others as a result of our experiences and how we feel. Lately, I've been a bit challenged in my work in the field of narcissistic abuse. Narcissism is a big issue in our world today, and so many people on the planet are showing signs of malignant narcissism. There's that projection, blame, judgment, and hatred, which are commonplace amongst those we assign the title of narcissist. I have gone as far as I can in describing narcissistic personality disorder and identifying the painful reality of those who have been victimized by a narcissist. I've worked with the horrible PTSD and anxiety one feels after having their reality shattered by a narcissist. But lately, I've had this feeling like it's time for me to move on beyond narcissistic abuse. In fact, that's been brewing for quite some time. And I've not been really clear about what this means. Now I'm becoming more clear. And the more clarity I receive, the more I will talk about what it means to really move beyond narcissism. As we learn how to perceive narcissism through another lens, we have a greater healing within ourselves. And that greater healing extends to our planet and to all of its inhabitants. Narcissistic betrayal is the ultimate example of when love hurts. Those we love and put our faith in often betray us on the deepest levels and rip apart the very fabric of our reality. We become victims of narcissistic cruelty and have difficulty piecing together our shattered lives. We experience firsthand projection where we are accused of being someone that we're not. We are perceived in a very negative light, and often these negative perceptions spread through the rumor mill throughout our social circles. Our first reaction is to want to defend ourselves. We get into a fighting position. We want to defend ourselves to set the record straight and salvage our reputation. But our deepest hurt is that the person that we loved and believed in sees us through this hugely distorted lens. We want to be seen in a positive light. We want to be loved. We want to be treated with kindness and respect, and we aren't getting what we want. Because of our own deep hurt, we can easily become very angry. Our anger causes us to energetically or physically lash out at the person we believe has hurt us. When I say physically, I don't mean that we punch that person or physically hurt that person, but we're in their physical presence, whether that be on the phone, whether that be on a text message or an email or in person, that we have that tendency to lash out. When we lash out energetically, we are visualizing, imagining ourselves lashing out. We're lashing out in our minds. Many of us harbor hatred in our hearts for those who have done us wrong. We don't want to feel hatred. There's nobody that I've worked with that wants to feel that hatred. We know that it's destructive because it feels destructive. We don't like the way that it feels, but we can't help ourselves. It's a natural response to cruelty. It's a protective response. We so often hate the one who seems to hate us, but we can't fight hatred with hatred. Hatred often serves as a wall that we believe protects us from being hurt further. If we hate someone enough, we will stay away from them and keep them away from us. We will trash them in our minds just as they have trashed us. We talk negatively about them and share our victims' stories of what they have done to us. We keep our stories alive and keep the energy of hatred erected as a boundary that keeps us safe from further abuse. As we learn more about narcissism, we can easily end up feeling contempt for all narcissists. We may carry a belief that narcissists are horrible people and should be exposed for the vile creatures that they are. We end up resenting them for their ability to move on so easily, for finding new love, and for all the social support that they receive. Especially when we ourselves are reeling in so much pain and are unable to move on. In my own story of abuse, I turned to my idea of God because it's the only place that I know to turn. I believe in a higher power. I believe in surrendering to that higher power. All the things in my life that I don't have control over, which ends up being almost everything. Step 2 in the 12-step program is we come to believe that a power greater than us can restore us to sanity. And step 3 is we made a decision to turn our lives and our wills over to the care of God as we understand him or her. So part of the 12-step recovery program is really to acknowledge that there is a higher power that we can turn our lives over to. And that's really helpful, and it's proven to be effective in recovery. It's been demonstrated time and time again that turning over our greatest pain and heartbreak is the only way to release it. We can of our own selves do nothing, but in our relationship with a higher power, there's nothing that we cannot do. Believing a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity, especially when we have been in the midst of extremely crazy-making behavior, is a powerful belief. But I find turning it over is the only way to really surrender control, to really let go, to really release this burden that we've been carrying. I've talked about the three C's of codependency in a previous podcast. As a recovering codependent, I have to understand that I didn't cause it, I can't control it, and I can't cure it. There is a magical belief that if I just say or do the right thing, that I can change the outcome. But this is really just my attempt to control the situation to get what I want, which is peace, which is a harmonious relationship. And you can't, you know, that's not a bad thing. However, it's the belief that if we just say or do the right thing, that we can bring about the outcome that we are seeking. And that's just not true. I really don't have any control over other people's behavior and other people's perceptions of me. So I have to surrender that control. There's nothing I can do about it. The sooner I accept this complete lack of control over my outer reality, the sooner that I can heal. I can't heal the outer situation. That's beyond my control. I'm powerless to heal the situation. It's God that does the healing. So my work is to keep turning it over and stop trying to take it back and control the outcome. The outcome is not mine to control. It's never our relationships out there that are the true problem. They seem to be the problem. When someone mistreats you completely, betrays your trust, they do seem to be the problem. But our deepest problem shows up in our relationship with ourselves. The way we perceive others stems from our relationship with ourselves. Let me give you an example. If you perceive someone to be a narcissistic asshole as a result of their actions and behavior towards you, then you will continue to feed this perception and continue to see this perception demonstrated outside of yourself. I've seen this in my own life. Because of my training and experience in narcissistic abuse, if I label someone as being a narcissist, there's an accompanying belief that they are beyond help or hope. And so I will begin to see them that way in my mind. And that basically negates any possibility of things turning out differently. I had a situation where a member of my extended family ticked most of the boxes in describing a narcissist. Her behavior towards me was appalling. There were lies, deception, manipulation, and extremely controlling behavior. As a result, there was a lot of damage. Sometimes when we have narcissism in the family, it isn't so easy to just walk away and go no contact, especially if there are other family members we wish to remain in contact with. So when walking away is not an option that you wish to exercise, you're in a position of wondering how you deal with such a situation, especially if you're a target or a scapegoat for that narcissistic person. In my own situation, I had a conversation with my higher self on how can I resolve this. And the information that came through me was a bit unexpected. Higher self asked me the question, how do you feel when you refer to this person as a narcissist? My answer was that I felt angry and hateful. I felt judgmental. I felt contempt. My higher self then asked me if this is how I wanted to feel. Of course, the answer was no, this is not how I want to feel. I'm then told that it is my perception that's causing me to feel the way that I do towards her. It's my perception. It's not her behavior per se. It would seem to be her behavior, but it's really my perception. It's what I read into it. It's what I assign it. I explain to my higher self that my perception comes from how I've been treated. And it was quite horrible. But my higher self tells me that she treats me with a lack of love because of the lack of love within her. She's someone who didn't get enough love as a child, and this caused her to feel insecure and needy. Out of that insecurity, she attempts to control everything and everyone around her in order to feel some semblance of control in her life. Higher self suggested I get rid of all the labels that I've assigned her and see things from a higher perspective. I'm asked how my inner feelings change when I can perceive her as someone who didn't get enough love instead of a narcissistic witch. I explain that my heart softened when I could see her from that higher perspective. I had compassion towards her. I had a deeper understanding. And with this higher perspective, I could feel love in my heart instead of the lack of love. What we feel in our hearts become our reality. If we feel anger, resentment, hostility, hatred, or any of these darker emotions towards someone else, those feelings have still taken up residence inside of us. We are the ones who live with these feelings, and they're not comfortable feelings to live with. We may feel justified in having these feelings, nevertheless, they still make us feel bad inside. We often believe that in order to feel better and resolve these painful feelings within ourselves, we need something from that other person. We really don't. Our feeling better is dependent upon our relationship with ourselves. It's an inside job. Forgiveness is not about making the hateful behavior projected upon us by someone else acceptable. It's not about saying what you did was okay. True forgiveness is about resolving the conflict that is going on within ourselves. It's about releasing our rage, our anger, our hatred, and all of those negative feelings that plague our hearts. I do believe that it's important to acknowledge our feelings and allow ourselves to feel them, but we don't want to pack them in our suitcase and carry them around with us. This is what we call baggage. When we can learn to empty our suitcase of all the dark, painful, heavy emotional baggage, we set ourselves free. We don't have to carry all that around with us anymore. Forgiveness is not about setting the other free as much as it's about setting ourselves free. We really have no conscious control over the reality that others are living. The only thing we ever have control over is the work that we do within ourselves. As I went deeper into my own healing process, I realized I had to unpack my suitcase and release all the hostility that I was harboring towards my aggressor. I had to let it go. It wasn't going to be easy, but it was the path I was consciously choosing. In order to really let go of my dark emotional baggage, I would need to let go of my story about what happened. Even though I knew the hazards of retelling my story over and over again, I realized I was still doing this. I was keeping the story alive by telling it to myself and to others. It was a sad story. It was a victim story. It was a story of deep betrayal. It was a story of how I had been wronged. We carry our stories around with us in our suitcase, and we bring them out and we share them with others when the opportunity presents itself. Our perceived perpetrators are the villains of our story. They are the ones we believe have the power to destroy us. They're the ones we perceive have already destroyed us. The villain is the one we battle against in the war between good and evil. And of course, we are the hero of our own story. We are the good one, and we assign that villain the role of being the bad one, the evil one. It upsets us to no end when we realize that our villain has a story too, and in our villain story, we are the bad one. We are the evil one. We feel a need to set them straight and get them to admit that what they did to us was bad. It was wrong. We didn't deserve it. But they have an entirely different story running, and in their story, we are the villain. Sometimes we get caught up in a false belief that if we get enough people to agree with us, that we are indeed the victim and the other is the villain, that will be validated. This will somehow make it true. It gives our story more fuel. But it's the story itself we must be willing to part with. And as we learn to forgive, we need to let go of the story. The real battle of Armageddon happens within each one of us. It's an inside journey. It is the hero's journey. When we watch films like Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, The Matrix, there's a hero and there's a villain. The hero works to overcome both the inner and the outer forces that threaten to destroy him and prevent him from accomplishing his mission of saving the world. It is the power that the hero assigns the villain that gives the villain its strength. This is true for our inner villain as well. The outer narcissist in our life and on the planet only have power as a result of the internalized narcissist, the inner narcissist. The outer villain reflects the inner villain. When we confront the narcissist within, the internalized narcissist, the narcissist out there loses power. This is what we really need to realize. In my story, there are those who have demonized me, who have villainized me. I am created as the villain of their story, and they become the villain of my story. Who wins this battle? Good and evil are forces that reside within us. Good, or God, is the force of love, and evil is the force of the lack of love. We find the seeds of evil in those empty places within our own shadow where love is lacking. Our healing work is never to try to resolve things outside of ourselves. It's about resolving within ourselves. We need to recognize where our perceptions are creating stories that keep us stuck in that dualistic love-hate relationship. It's the emotions within us that cause us to feel the way we do. We're responsible for our own negative and dark emotions. other people's emotions belong to them. We're never really battling with the way we perceive our enemy. We're battling with how we feel our enemy is perceiving us and how we perceive ourselves. Our enemy's perception of us is their cross to carry, not ours. And the same truth applies to all of us. Hateful feelings harbored within us hurts us, not them. Our enemy feels the inner effect of the hatred that they carry towards us, and we feel the inner effect of the hatred we carry towards them. As we accept this truth and work to resolve the hatred in our own heart, and in its place we find love, we heal. The story that love heals all wounds is also an inside story. It's the love we bring to the places within us that are wounded that has the power to heal us. We live in an energetic universe, so how we feel inside does affect the whole of our observed creation. If I believe that my perceived enemy is a narcissist, what will be my energetic relationship with that person? And I'm not talking about my physical relationship with that person. I'm talking about my energetic relationship. There's a difference. My energetic relationship is my invisible relationship with that person. It's my feelings and thoughts about that person. If I'm carrying negative, judgmental, dark thoughts and feelings for that person, they're going to pick up on my feelings and will likely project the same feelings towards me. If I can truly find a way to love my enemy and stop carrying around my stories, my hatred, my judgments, and my negative beliefs in my suitcase, I truly set myself free and bring that relationship potential back to zero. What I mean about bringing the relationship potential back to zero is that the whole negative dark dance is a dance of wounded souls, and it gets deactivated. That dance is deactivated. One wounded soul betrays or lashes out at another, and the wounds are activated in both when we do this dance. When one heals and releases the other to God's hands, there's no longer a tug of war going on energetically. There can be no power struggle when one person lets go of the rope. The other person may still believe that they're fighting against you, but when you've withdrawn your energy from the battle, his or her real fight is with himself or herself. This is why we need to always bring our attention to the battle that is going on within us. In my story, I've been angry at my perceived perpetrator because I believed she had taken something very valuable from me. She had stolen from me. She treated me cruelly and unfairly. I believed that I couldn't get back what was taken, and it was all her fault. She had the power. She could lie about me and convince others that I was the bad guy, and because she appeared to be so innocent, others believed her without question, and this caused me to feel even more anger. My higher self tells me this is your story, what I just told you. This is your story. It's my victim's story. It's the story of how I've been wrong, but I've become weary of this story. The suitcase that I've been carrying around with me is getting really heavy, and I need to lay it down. I need to set myself free from all of this. Now, I could tell you all the dirty details of my story, and maybe I would gain your sympathy or support or validation. Maybe you would understand why I felt so much pain around this story. You might even identify with my story. And you may feel that I'm justified in feeling the way that I do. But the thing is, the devil really is in the details. The more details we share about our victim's story, the more we feel justified in our rage and anger, and the more we keep that story alive. The details of the story really aren't important, because everything that happened in my story is a result of wounded souls dancing a toxic dance with each other. Heal one soul, and the dance can't continue in the same way. It would be impossible. This isn't about healing with the other on a physical level. Sometimes it's necessary to distance ourselves from the people who demonize us and mistreat us. It's the energetic relationship we need to focus on healing. What does the villain of your story provoke within you? Why do you feel a need to defend yourself, to explain yourself, to feel vindicated, to seek revenge? What are you really struggling against? These are the important questions that we need to ask ourselves. In my case, I was fighting against the unhealed thoughts, feelings, and beliefs I had about myself. I was fighting with this need to be loved and seen as good, where I was failing to love myself and see myself as good. Why did I give the perceptions coming from others so much power? Did I believe that their perceptions somehow defined me? Was I a bad person because someone else out there believed that I was? I had to remind myself that reality is subjective. We are all a product of our thoughts and our beliefs. If we really want our reality to shift, we need to examine how our current thoughts and beliefs are keeping us stuck. How people treat you has a whole lot more to do with them than it does with you. People will treat you as they themselves have been treated, or they will project onto you the feelings that they're harboring within themselves. I need to remember that the villain of my story is just another wounded soul who never got the love she so desperately needed. If I'm to be truly honest with myself, I felt that way too. I never felt I got the love that I needed. In my own hero's journey, I had to look at my part in the toxic dance. As long as we're pulling on that rope in that tug of war, we have a part. We're playing a part in the toxic dance. I had to ask myself, how did I feed the beast? How did I react to the crazy? What did I tell myself as a result of her behavior? Once the damage has already been done, there's nothing I can do to repair it out there with the person who's been a very negative force in my life. The person clearly has no interest in mending our relationship, as it seems her goal was to make it very uncomfortable for me to come around, and therefore I'd stay away. And when I stayed away, she wouldn't have to deal with what my presence brings up for her. I'm left only with the energetic battle that still goes on inside of me. And this is the true hero's journey, to battle the dark forces within. I must live with the understanding that it was never really love that hurt me. It was the lack of love. It was where love was missing. And it was where I failed to love myself. And as I invite the love of God, the love of the divine to come into those places that have been closed off to love, I can allow this love to heal me and to set me free. It's only when we truly release the past and the people who have hurt us and heal the wounds within ourselves that we diffuse the energetic charge in that relationship. And it only takes one. One person changing can change the whole dynamic. We can never really heal when we hate the person we perceive to be the villain of our life. Hatred is a destructive energy. And when we hate someone for not loving us or for mistreating us, we really are doing the opposite of what we want. We're pushing love away. That's what hate does. It pushes love away. It's much better to see the villain in your life as a misguided soul who is acting out of his or her wounds. We've got to learn not to take the villain personally. Even if what he or she has done to you is despicable. There are no despicable people, only despicable behavior. Learn to separate that person from his or her behavior. Keep your distance if you need to. Cut that person out of your life if you need to. If that person is throwing sand in your face in the sandbox and is not playing nice, you need to leave the sandbox and play with people who do play nice. Write a new ending to your story, a happy ending. Write a great love story where you are the hero who learns how to really love. Remember, the outer villain can only get in through the shadows you've not yet explored within yourself. Bring love to those shadows, and the villain has no entrance to your soul. I want to thank you very much for being with me today. I've really enjoyed sharing all this with you. And if you want more information about my work, please visit my website, narcissismfree.com, where you can get information about my counseling, coaching, hypnotherapy, my books, my audios, and other things that I offer. I will see you in the next episode. Have a great day.